Again, this week we have a really wonderful opportunity to see how our parsha, in its very beginning, the words of our parsha, gives us an opportunity to explore our own connection to wilderness. Bamidbar, it says in the Midbar, God said to Moses, as he said in Har Sinai and the Mount Sinai, and then it goes into a census. Is why the book is called the Book of Numbers, the fourth book of the five books of Moses. One of the earlier references to Midbar as a place of Midaber, of speaking, the same letters of Midbar, Mem Dalet Bet Resh, can also be Midaber, the speaking, that it is in the Midbar that we hear speaking. However, in the Talmud, a rabbi named Rava says, if a person makes himself humble like this wilderness, which is open to all and upon which everyone treads, the Torah will be given to her as a gift, matana. And once it is given her as a gift, she inherits, and God makes it her inheritance, as it is stated, and from Matana to Nahaliel, another pasuk, when in talking about the journeys from Matana, a place, to Nahaliel, once God has made it her inheritance, she rises to greatness, as it is said, and from Nahaliel to Bamot, which is the next stop, which means heights. So this image of the fact that we should make ourselves a wilderness ties in very well to what we are talking about. The wilderness is a metaphor for God in the Hebrew Bible. A number of wonderful scholars have dealt with this and talked about the fact that the divine presence found in the wilderness, which is a better translation than Midbar, as dead desert, was far from lifeless. Its plants and animals were tenacious, bizarre, fierce, even supernatural. And the spiritual importance of the wilderness in biblical context begins with those physical elements whose impact, our cognitive selves can elucidate. So that's one important thing, that the desert or the wilderness, it gives us an opportunity, a very important opportunity for self-reflection. And that's what we do, and that's why one of the important things about the Midbar in the Torah is that it is a locale for intense experiences. Need for food and water, which was fulfilled with manna and quails, of isolation. The Midbar is where Elijah hears the still small voice of danger and of divine deliverance, where Hagar and Ishmael go for renewal, of encounters with God, Moshe, the burning bush, and of course, the revelation of the divine name on Mount Sinai. So what is the spiritual meaning of wilderness? Well, the wilderness is full of loneliness, self-doubt, questioning, and despair. Sometimes when we feel we're in the wilderness, we feel knocked down, we feel alone. But God knows we each will face the dark night of that soul, as Goethe called it in Faust. How can we survive spiritual wilderness? Well, first, remember where you have come from. Only a person we get in the Hasidic tradition by Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, only a person who is willing to make nothing of himself or herself, who thinks of him or herself as a midbar, is truly worthy of having the divine presence rest on him or her and of attaining the true light of the Torah. A person should always think of himself as of being in the midbar, so he will or she will lean entirely on their own resources, as it says in Pirkei Avot, and later quoted by Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? We always read Bamidbar, excuse me, on the eve of the festival of Shavuot, in which we celebrate the receiving of Torah. I would say not receiving of Torah, but giving of Torah. Giving of Torah. Our ancient rabbis ask why the Torah was given in the wilderness of all places. In the Midrash, the rabbinic commentaries, they answer that God chose to give Torah, Israel, the Torah, in the wilderness because it is ownerless and therefore open to all. So too, they say, the Torah is intended as a gift for all people. And the wilderness, of course, can also be seen as a metaphor for the spiritual landscape of an individual. The Torah teaches that in order to receive the gift of the Torah, a person should make oneself like a wilderness. And what does it mean to make oneself like a wilderness? Well, unlike private property in the ownerless, in Hebrew, hefker, the ownerless in the wilderness, unlike private property, in the ownerless wilderness, there are no walls and no gatekeepers. It is a place of uncertainty and expansiveness, of majesty and possibility. And when we make ourselves like a wilderness, we open our hearts and minds to being changed by what we encounter. Rabbi Komens, who is known as the nature rabbi, he leads people on mindfulness treks in the wilderness, says mindfulness is a great gift of wilderness. Mindfulness is the great gift of wilderness because the risks, paying attention is not optional. There are serious consequences for getting lost in thoughts and the to-do list back home. Much has been written about mindfulness as a path beyond ego. Less known is the calm spaciousness and heart opening that comes with living in the present. And this leads to trust in God's world. One can feel more certain, more safe, and more at home in the back country than in the city. He continues and said, wilderness teaches one how to live fully aware of danger without anxiety. Nothing is riskier to the outdoor enthusiast than the denial of risk. Statistically, he says, I am more likely to die from a car accident than a grizzly attack. But I'm constantly aware of potential hazards when I'm far from the hospital. Outside the human comfort zone called civilization, I am less prone for falling into routine. It's a wonderful quote that somehow the wilderness demands attention, demands concentration, demands being in the present moment, which is always the challenge that we face. So, just a few more quotes, and then we'll talk a little bit more. In a wonderful piece by a wonderful scholar, somebody who I knew from his early days, the son of Buzi Fishbein, Eitan Fishbein, who's at the Jewish Theological Seminary, talks about the quoting Kathleen Norris, evoking the life of on the Great Plains of Dakota as a spiritual practice. She says, here the eye learns to appreciate slight variations, the possibility inherent in emptiness. It sees that the emptiness is full of small things. A person is forced inward by the sparseness of what is outward and visible in all this land and sky. Maybe seeing the plains is like seeing an icon, which seems stern and almost empty, is merely open, a door into some simple and holy state. The experience, Professor Fishbein continues, the experience of what appears to be emptiness is an opening into another state of spiritual perception, an opening of the heart into the concealed indwelling of divine holiness. The sublime interior of the human soul is revealed in that moment of mystery and grandeur before the vastness of the all. And of course, this idea of the ownerless, the fact that all of us have had access to this, is very important. So just as the divine revelation of the Torah arises from the physical space of wilderness at the Midbar, first at the burning bush with Moshe, and then at Mount Sinai, a heart infused with divine Torah arises through a personal, mindful cultivation of their own interior wilderness. One should seek to attain the level of hefker, of feeling unbound by the pride and egoism of ownership, of being attached to materialism. In hefker, ownerless consciousness, we train our spiritual sight to see the divine presence that dwells beneath the surface, beneath the many golden calves of our obsessions, possessions, wayward priorities. This is a radical reinvention of the concept of hefker, a neutral halachic category of abandonment and ownerlessness. And of course, this was taken on by many, and one of the most important in creating the sense of meditative practice in nature, or wilderness, if you will. Reb Nachman of Bratslav says that the most profound opening of the heart to God takes place in the physical space of darkness and wilderness, the frightening ground of loneliness and alienation. It is in solitude, which he called hitbodedut, that we are able to empty our minds and hearts of society's overwhelming drumbeat with the ultimate bitul hayesh, the erasure of superficial mundane consciousness, becomes possible, and we are truly opened in all our vulnerability before divinity. In that place of midbar, we are able to break open the heart in ways we didn't know were possible, to cry out to God from a place of deepest emotional honesty. The midbar is an inner place of psyche as much as it is a terrestrial location. So, to paraphrase all this, it says, you will attain the true soul of Torah only if you have made yourself hefker kemidbar, ownerless like the midbar, the wilderness. A person is cleansed of spiritual obsessions, gentle and generous towards other people, and one who has nullified the grip of pride and egoism. As an early Hasidic Rebbe, Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, says, the true wisdom and humanity arises from the cultivation of deep humility. True wisdom and humanity, I'll repeat, rises from the cultivation of deep humility. And he goes on, Rabbi Menachem Mendel, and says, the Torah only stands firm in one who makes himself or herself like a midbar, hefker, before those who are poor of mind and rich of mind. And he or she doesn't think of him or herself as better than his friend. On the contrary, he should be completely nullified before his friend. And it is through this that they become united and bound up one with the other. So this hefker kemidbar, becoming ownerless, shouldn't really be on the level of only our individualistic mystical growth and personal quest for divine revelation. To realize the ideals of piety, to ensconce the living Torah in the wholeness of oneself, a person must aspire towards a genuine humility to avoid the harmful path of judgmentalism and arrogance. It is in the bond of loving friendship and fellowship, in kindness and humility towards the other, that the Torah and God are most radiantly revealed. So I'll stop there because I think there's a lot to contemplate here. I'm open for comments and questions. And of course, there is much more to say, because as I say, the wilderness theme seems to exist not only in Jewish culture, but many other cultures as well. So, let's open it up. I've spoken enough. And see what the people have to say. Just unmute yourselves or raise.